Welcome again to another edition of the IDF Hour. I'm Paul Honeycutt, elder at New Covenant Bible Fellowship, Tempe, Arizona, joined as always by Jeff Volker, director of in-depth studies and also an elder at New Covenant Bible Fellowship. We started a new series last week on the law of Christ, which is something we hear a lot about, but I think sometimes we're not quite sure what that is. We made a couple of provocative statements, one of which was the Mosaic law. The Old Covenant, Old Testament law, Mosaic law, came to an end at the cross. That was replaced by what we commonly refer to as the law of Christ, which we're going to really look at today. But we also made this statement that the law functions the same in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Explain that, how that all kind of ties together.
Okay, if you turn to Matthew 22, you have that very famous section where begins in verse 34, where Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they question him. And it says in verse 35, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Now what he's doing is he's distilling down law to two basic laws. Mm-hmm. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, etc. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, so that means all versions of God's law, now in this context he's talking about the Mosaic law, but we have in Scripture two versions of God's law, really. The Mosaic law for the Old Covenant era, the law of Christ for the New Covenant era. And both of these versions of God's law are all based on these two commandments. But there is an Old Covenant era version, a New Covenant era version. And so we are focusing on this study, the New Covenant era version, which is called the law of Christ. Because remember, we talked about that our last program, that the way you summarize John 13, 34, and 35, the way you summarize what we are responsible to do from Pentecost to the second coming in the new covenant there is love as Christ loved. Mm-hmm. But as you flesh out the details, of course, that is the law of Christ. It's both. Love as Christ loved, that's the shorthand description, and then all the details. So we want to focus in on today more of the details, more of the details as to now. And I guess maybe before we do this, we should make this point. In the Old Covenant era, the Mosaic law is neatly sort of laid out, whereas in the New Covenant era, the law of Christ is not as neatly laid out. And we talked about this last time, so I'll just summarize a little bit that. If the Old Covenant era is primarily dealing with unbelievers, Israel, because they are unbelieving as a whole, and therefore they're focusing on law as it applies to the unbeliever. And so, of course, it shows you your sin, shows you your need for a Savior. And now, in the New Covenant era, the emphasis is on believers, but the emphasis is not law. Because when you talk about change in a believer's life, the emphasis is not law, it's the new heart, the work of the Spirit in the life of the believer. Then in a secondary sense, if you're a God lover, the way you show your love for God is to keep His commandments. Mm-hmm. So now you have to then flesh out what are His commandments, and that, of course, is the law of Christ.
So you could summarize by saying in the Old Covenant it was a means to salvation, which of course was impossible because nobody could keep it. Whereas in the new, it's an evidence. It's a result.
Yeah, or just to say, with the unbeliever, law shows you your sin.
Right.
For the believer, it shows you how to express your love for God.
Got it.
And so, but we made this point that law always functions identically. Hmm. So in the Old Covenant era, the Mosaic law, it showed Israel their sin because it says in Romans 5:20, when the law was given so that sin might increase. Mm-hmm. Okay, but for David, who was a believer in Psalm 119, he says, "Oh, how I love your law." He's talking about Mosaic law, because he loved the God who gave that law. He was a believer. So his keeping the Mosaic law was the overflow of his love for God. Whereas in the New, we have, you know, primarily talking about believers, how you show your love for God. But if you're not a believer, the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Well, that's, law always functions the same. It's just in the Old Covenant era, the function of law with regard to an unbeliever is being highlighted. In the New Covenant era, the function of the law with regard to the believer is being highlighted. So that's where we are. So let's now look at, go to the Sermon on the Mount. And let's flesh out the law of Christ, just to give a little bit of a flavor as to what's going on. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, you have this basic fundamental theological disagreement between the two camps, between covenant theology and new covenant theology. Covenant theology would say that what Jesus is doing is reasserting the original intent of the Mosaic law that the Pharisees and Sadducees had distorted. So he's sort of bringing it back to its original meaning. Okay? But New Covenant theology would say, no, that's not, they don't think that's what's happening. What Jesus is doing is coming as a new lawgiver, kicking up law to a higher level, which did not exist in that way in the Mosaic law. And so, of course, we would reflect here at the IDS Hour with In-Depth Studies, the perspective of New Covenant theology, Jesus is coming as the new lawgiver. Now, how do we see that? Well, one of the clearest places to go, and this is what we will highlight or focus on during this IDS hour, is Matthew 5:43-47 or 48, where in the Sermon on the Mount we are commanded to love our enemies. So let's read that, 43-48, and then dissect it some. "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." It's this beginning portion that we want to focus on, verse 43, where it says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Now, immediately, the question that comes into our mind is, okay, in the Mosaic law, the law of the Old Covenant, was there a command already existing to love your neighbor as yourself? And we would say, absolutely true. So if you turn to Leviticus 19, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. And this is, I'm reading from the NIV, but they give a little heading to chapter 19, various laws, a potpourri of laws, just one after the other. And in the midst of that, in verse 18, it says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord."
Okay, now, so, is he talking about just fellow Jews?
That's the question. See, you know, that is the question, that love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, now we know from the parable of the Good Samaritan in the book of Luke that Jesus says that everybody is your neighbor, particularly the despised Samaritan. Okay, so we know that at least Jesus is giving in a very broad definition. The question we want to ask is, this law in the Old Covenant era, Mosaic law, is it the same definition? And I would say no. It's a very limited definition as to who is your neighbor. Whoever does qualify as your neighbor, you must love them as yourself. But there is in the Mosaic law a restriction as to who is your neighbor. And let's just sort of talk about that for a second. Two places we can go. Deuteronomy 25. Verses 17-19. Now, this is just sort of like a parenthetical comment at the end of 25. This is where, you know, the Israelites are getting prepared to go into the Promised Land. Moses is going to die before they enter in, and Joshua will lead them over. That's the historical backdrop. But look at verses 17 through 19. He says, "Remember what the Amalekites did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt. When you were weary and worn out, they met you on your journey and cut off all who were lagging behind. They had no fear of God. When the Lord your God gives you rest from all your enemies around you in the land he is giving you to possess as an inheritance," that's the Promised Land, "you shall blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Do not forget. I mean, wipe out the Amalekites. Okay, well, at least first off, and we see this, of course, when Joshua led the Israelites into Jericho. Mm-hmm. He marched around them 7 days. Seventh day, blow the trumpets, and then the walls came and tumbling down. They go in there and they killed everybody. They were commanded to kill everybody. Babies, mm-hmm. everybody. Okay. So in this Old Covenant era, under the Mosaic Law, the Amalekites, or non-Jews, do not qualify as your neighbor. So, yes, it's true that the command, love your neighbor as yourself, is first seen in Leviticus 19. It's, of course, repeated in the New. And that's all true. But in the Old, non-Jews don't qualify as neighbors, and so therefore you can kill them. Those in Jericho, the Promised Land, and then the Amalekites, just to give us a little example. We also find in the book of Numbers, at the very end, we find a further restricting of love your neighbor as yourself in the Mosaic Law. Numbers 35, which is this strange account of the cities of refuge. And first let me explain it, because it's a longer thing to discuss. But I'll explain part of it. Moses, through the Lord, I mean the Lord through Moses, gives Israel these six cities of refuge, six towns, three from north to south or south to north, three west of the Jordan, and three east of the Jordan. So you got these six towns. Now, and it says in verse 15, "These six towns will be a place of refuge for Israelites, aliens, and any other people living among them, so that anyone who has killed another accidentally can flee there." And of course, the idea is, and they describe this, is that if someone, if you know you're out cutting wood out in the woods, and your axe, the head of your axe, slips off your axe accidentally and sticks into the head of your friend and kills them, then he says, okay, this is an accidental death. Well, they describe in Numbers 35 I'm sure this is just a cultural thing, that there's a relative of this person who's called the Avenger of Blood, that his family responsibility is to avenge the death of the family member, that this person can kill you. Hmm. Now, this is where it's interesting, because they say, okay, if you can get to one of these six cities of refuge before this Avenger of Blood gets to you, then your case will be judged by the leaders. Mm-hmm. And when they judge you, if it's determined, yes, it was an accidental death, then, of course, you are declared innocent. But even if you're declared innocent, Numbers 35 says that you are not allowed to leave outside the walls of this town, one of these six cities of refuge, until the current high priest dies. I mean, you're not allowed to go back home to your town until the current high priest dies, because if the Avenger of Blood can get to you when you've left the protection of the city walls, he can kill you and there's no sin. So let's sort of summarize. The commandment to love your neighbor as yourself is found in Leviticus 19:18. But we saw that, whoa, that doesn't refer to non-Israelites, those in the Promised Land, and as well as the Amalekites. So that they don't qualify as neighbors. Then among the Israelites, we have a further tightening up of the definition, whereas if someone you kill someone accidentally, their family member, this avenger of blood, if they can get to you, before you even get to the city of refuge, even though it was an accidental death, they can kill you and there's no problem. And when you're at the city of refuge, so, and your case is adjudicated, tried, and you're declared not guilty, accidental death, you still have to stay within the, you know, the walls of this city until the current high priest dies. And if you got just a new guy who's a little younger, that's not good. You want an old codger who's about ready to kick the bucket. But if the new guy, if whoever the age of the current high priest, you have to stay there until he dies, because if you go outside those walls and the avenger of blood is lurking and he gets to you, he can kill you. And there's no problem with that. So love your neighbor as yourself doesn't apply in that situation. So what we're seeing is the command, love your neighbor as yourself, as part of the Mosaic Law, we would say is severely limited in the Old Covenant setting. Whereas when you come to the New Covenant era setting, which is under the law of Christ, a new version of God's law, the what it means to love your neighbor is broadened. So now Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, does the Mosaic Law teach that? And the answer is yes, it does. Because the non-Israelites, those in Canaan, were their enemies. And so they were told to wipe them out, like the Amalekites. So that is true. So Jesus then says, but I tell you, love your enemies. And then he gives the illustration, because God loves his enemies. And of course, then how does God love his enemies? He gives them rain and season, etc. So that those who are not God's people experience a limited form of his love. Which is absolutely true.
Right. What we would call common grace.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So then, based on what you just said, the notion, the covenant theological notion that Jesus is just restating the old covenant law really doesn't apply here at all.
No, it is. Jesus is coming as a new lawgiver, kicking up the Mosaic, is kicking up the law of Christ to a higher level than existed under the Mosaic law. And of course that's, so the law of Christ then, to summarize, the law of Christ is how we are to show what we are responsible to do, how we show our love for God. Love as Christ loved, what it means to love as Christ loved. This is our responsibility. So that's whatever it has to say about that, then we have to do. But we recognize that it is not the keeping of the law in the new covenant era for the believer is not what's being focused on as the means of change. It's always the work of the Holy Spirit, the new heart, the new motivation, which is implanted in the believer. That is the source of change. Law is now secondary, whereas under the old covenant era, law was primary.
This is an aside, but I got to ask it because I was just thinking about this. Jesus' ministry here on earth, he was still under the old covenant law, correct?
Yes.
Okay. He was criticized muchly by the priests and others, the Sadducees and Pharisees, for eating with sinners and tax collectors and all these kinds of things. Yet all those things they criticized him for were not specifically breaking the Mosaic law, though, were they?
No. It's the... Well, let's turn to Luke 11, because we can see something. This is good to clarify. This is the passage. No, I took you to the wrong one. Where we want to go is to where Jesus is now speaking about our obligation to obey the command to tithe mint and rue, you know, or not so much to tithe the smallest portion of our income. Where are we at here? All of a sudden, my mind is. Um, Jesus describes that. I'm just trying, all of a sudden, for some reason, I'm just sort of flipped out, and I cannot do that. Jesus is describing our responsibility to tithe mint and rue. That is, that we are responsible to tithe, just as Jesus was responsible to obey the Sabbath. Mm. And the reason that that is true is because he came under the, he lived during the Old Covenant era. Mm-hmm. And therefore, since he lived during the Old Covenant era, he was under that version of God's law for that era, which was the Mosaic Law. And the Mosaic Law required these, had these laws regarding Sabbath keeping, tithing, etc. Jesus kept that because that's the law he was under.
Right.
But the question is, we are not under that version of God's law.
Right.
So, and we have, you know, we talked about this a little bit, the popular little ditty that, you know, that helps us figure out how we're, what we're supposed to do as believers is, what would Jesus do? Mm-hmm. Answer that question. And that's really not at, not the proper way of phrasing it biblically, because everything Jesus did, we're not supposed to do. Specifically with regard to, let's say, keeping those portions of Mosaic law that we do, that are not part of the law of Christ today. Mm-hmm. So Jesus did tithe, you know, to the smallest degree. He did keep the Sabbath, but we're not responsible to do that because we're under a different version of God's law. So we wouldn't say the appropriate question to ask is, what would Jesus have me, what would Jesus do? It would be, what would Jesus have me to do? Mm-hmm. Which is whatever the law of Christ tells you.
Right.
So that's sort of an important distinction that we need to keep in mind. So we really are dealing with the law of Christ is everything that we are supposed to do or not do from, you know, for those of us who live this side of Pentecost, which is in the New Covenant era. That is the law of Christ. It is summarized by love as Christ loved. That's why it's called the law of Christ. Mm-hmm. And but it is fleshed out in great detail, whether, and we talked about this from before, you go to Ephesians chapter 4, and where they're talking about relationships, they tell you, okay, this is how we're to love as Christ loved, and that would mean, example, from verse 29 of Ephesians 4, mm-hmm. do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that may benefit those who listen. Then do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, etc., etc., etc. Here we have a fleshing out of what it means to love as Jesus loved. This mm-hmm. is the law of Christ.
If we, I asked this question last week, and if someone were to say to me, okay, Paul, I understand what you're saying here. There's a new lawgiver. Where do I go in Scripture to find that? One place we wouldn't send them necessarily would be the Gospels, is it?
No, because it is true in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is coming under the old, mm-hmm. introducing the new.
Right.
And so we find law of Christ there in the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus is introducing what is it like to live in the real kingdom.
Mm.
But the Gospels are a mixture mm-hmm. of, it is Old Covenant era, that right. is, therefore the people are under the Mosaic Law, and Jesus is introducing the new. So even the Gospels, you have to filter them through the rest of the teaching passages from Acts onward, that is, interpreting the old through the lens of new, and that part of it is old,
right.
even though Jesus is introducing the new. So it's kind of a mixed bag.
Right.
And so
there is a danger of trying to be, and we've heard this phrase, a red letter Christian.
We're
just going to read what Jesus said and it's all going to be good. Because we can become very confused very quickly.
You're right. Or to say, I remember I came across years ago that someone had a book. He said, here's a book about, I think we were talking about New Covenant theology, someone on the internet. And they recommend a book about the law of Christ. And all that is all the commands of Jesus. Mm. And no, that's not what we're talking about. Mm. Obviously, those are very much a part of it, but that's not it, because the bulk of what we're to do comes from Romans onward in the teaching passages.
Right.
That fleshes out how a believer is to show their love for their Lord by keeping his commandments, mm-hmm. and explains what the commandments are. So you do, you know, the law of Christ is really important to get a handle on, because you do have these different flavors from the old to the new, and you need to explain why they're there, mm-hmm. and why there's a different emphasis on law than in the old than there is in the new, which is clearly true, because in the new the emphasis isn't the law, it is the changed life that Jesus purchased for you on the cross. That is the big thing. So for our purposes, I think, you know, it is important to just sort through these issues that we've gone through last week and this week to get mm-hmm. just a handle on conceptually what is the law of Christ.
Right. I'm thinking about James, too, where he says, you know, don't be hearers only, but be doers of the law. It's our lives are to be the evidence of the reality of the working of the Spirit in them.
Yes.
I mean, if we're a real believer, I should look radically different than just the rest of the world.
Right.
There should be evidence. There should be a uniqueness to my life.
Well, how about we take one more week on this law of Christ? Mm-hmm. Let's focus, because as soon as we talk to folks about sort of what does it mean to live for the Lord, mm-hmm. people immediately seem to turn to the Ten Commandments.
Mm.
So let's address that next, our next program on, you know, how do we handle, if we embrace the law of Christ, mm-hmm. how are we supposed to handle the Ten Commandments?
Mm-hmm.
And also there's a couple of passages in 2 Timothy, as well as James, mm-hmm. on, you know, that on the surface might be confusing, but I think we need to sort of tie a ribbon around this study and then send it on its way.
Yeah, because I was reminded of a fellow pastor friend of ours who used to kind of complain, but he said he would ask people who he would run into, hadn't seen in a while, how are you doing spiritually? They would invariably start talking about what they were reading, or, you know, some study they were in or something of that nature. That's probably not the best answer, is it, when we're trying to identify in our own lives or explain to others how we're doing spiritually? And I think it also ties back to this whole idea of keeping the law of Christ. What does that really look like?
Yeah.
What's that measuring rod, as it were, in my own life?
I think in ours it's just that you desire to live for him because you love him.
Mm-hmm.
But that demands knowing some detail. Because what it means to live for him in varying situations, you know, it's not always the same, you know, and that's why you need a fleshing out of loving as Jesus loved. Well, what do you mean? Well, that's all that we're supposed to do, which is the law of Christ.
Right. Okay, we'll pick this up again next week. Thanks for listening, as always. We will see you next time.